Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Saving Capitalism for the Many, Not the Few is a 2015 nonfiction book by economist and former U.S. Secretary of Labor Robert B. Reich, written as a critique of modern American capitalism. It argues that the economy is not operating as a neutral free market, but as a system shaped by political rules that increasingly favor concentrated wealth and corporate power. Reich's central purpose is to show that rising inequality is not inevitable, and that markets are always structured by government decisions about property, monopoly, contracts, bankruptcy, and enforcement. The book is both diagnostic and reform-minded. It explains how the present system shifted away from broadly shared prosperity and then outlines ways to rebuild countervailing power for workers, consumers, and citizens. Rather than treating capitalism and democracy as separate questions, Reich presents them as deeply linked, making the book a policy argument as well as a civic intervention. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the free market is a political construction, not a natural force. A core argument of the book is that markets do not emerge on their own and then merely need to be left alone. Reich insists that every market depends on rules created and enforced by government, so the real question is never whether government is involved, but whose interests its rules serve. This reframes debates about regulation by showing that so-called free markets are always designed systems, not neutral arenas. Reich uses this idea to challenge the common conservative claim that government distorts markets from the outside. Instead, he argues that government already shapes the market through decisions about ownership, competition, contracts, debt, and legal enforcement. Once that is understood, the issue becomes whether public rules are written to encourage broad opportunity or to protect existing concentrations of wealth. This is one of the book's most important conceptual moves because it changes the meaning of economic freedom from absence of government to fairness in rulemaking and rule. Enforcement. Second, five legal building blocks determine who benefits from capitalism. Reich organizes much of the book around five rule-based building blocks of capitalism: property, monopoly, contracts, bankruptcy, and enforcement. He treats these not as technical details, but as the foundations of economic power. Property rules decide what can be owned and how ownership is defined, including intellectual property. Monopoly rules determine how much market concentration society allows, shaping whether firms compete or dominate. Contract rules govern the terms of exchange and what can legally be bought and sold. Bankruptcy rules decide how failure is handled and who bears the losses when obligations cannot be met. Enforcement ensures that all of the other rules actually matter in practice. By focusing on these foundations, Reich shows that inequality is not merely the result of individual effort, talent, or productivity. It also comes from the way the system is built. The book's force lies in making abstract legal structures visible and political, because once the rules are recognized as choices, they can be changed for different outcomes. Thirdly, rising inequality reflects concentrated economic and political power. Another major theme is that inequality in the United States is not just a matter of uneven income growth, but of power accumulating at the top. Reich links stagnating wages, declining middle-class security, and extraordinary gains at the top to a system in which corporations, wealthy donors, and major financial interests shape public policy. He argues that when wealth becomes concentrated, it does not remain private in effect. It begins to influence legislation, regulation, taxation, and judicial interpretation. The book pays particular attention to how money affects democratic institutions and why policy often serves elites, even when public opinion favors broader fairness. This connection between economic inequality and political capture is crucial to Reich's analysis. He is not simply describing a gap between rich and poor. He is showing how that gap reinforces itself by giving the wealthy more ability to write the rules that widen it further. In that sense, inequality is presented as a self-reinforcing institutional problem, not only a moral one. Fourthly, countervailing power is the practical remedy to a rigged system. Reich does not present his book as a lament alone. His proposed answer is to rebuild countervailing power, meaning organized forces that can balance the power of large corporations and wealthy interests. This includes stronger labor power, more effective civic engagement, antitrust enforcement, campaign finance reform, and public policies that make markets serve broad prosperity rather than elite extraction. The logic is that concentrated power is not corrected by goodwill or persuasion alone. It requires institutions capable of checking it. Reich's emphasis on countervailing power gives the book a practical direction because it moves from diagnosis to political strategy. He is especially interested in how ordinary citizens, workers, and voters can regain leverage through collective action and rules that support competition and accountability. This makes the book distinctive among critiques of capitalism. It does not call for abandoning markets, but for rebuilding the institutions that keep markets democratic and socially useful. The goal is not to end capitalism, but to make it less extractive and more inclusive. Lastly, the book links economic reform to democratic renewal. Saving Capitalism ultimately argues that economic policy and democratic health cannot be separated. Reich presents the erosion of the middle class, the growth of oligarchic influence, and the weakening of public trust as symptoms of the same underlying problem, a political economy tilted toward the few. That is why the book treats reforms such as antitrust enforcement, fair taxation, and limits on corporate influence as democratic as well as economic measures. If citizens believe markets are rigged, confidence in democracy itself declines. Conversely, if rules are visibly designed to protect broad participation and opportunity, democratic legitimacy improves. This broader framing gives the book significance beyond standard economics writing. Reich is not just asking how to increase growth or improve efficiency. He is asking what kind of society capitalism should support. The result is a book that belongs partly to economics, partly to political theory, and partly to civic critique. Its larger claim is that an economy serving the many is also necessary for a functioning democracy. In conclusion, Saving Capitalism for the Many, Not the Few is best suited for readers who want a clear, policy-oriented critique of inequality and market power rather than a technical economics text. It will be especially useful to students of political economy, citizens trying to understand why wage stagnation and corporate influence persist, and readers interested in reform arguments that stay grounded in the realities of law and institutions. The book offers practical value by clarifying how markets are built, how rules can be captured, and why democratic politics matters to economic outcomes. Intellectually, it helps readers move beyond simplistic debates about government versus the market and toward a more precise question: who designs the market and for whom? What distinguishes Reich's book from many other inequality books is its structural focus. Instead of treating unfairness as a moral failing or a temporary policy error, it explains capitalism as a rule system that can be rewritten. That makes the book both analytical and actionable, and it gives it lasting relevance in debates over competition, labor power, taxation, and democracy. If you would like to support Robert B. Reich, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.